There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of The Unique Geek. I am your host, John, and with me for possibly the last one, maybe the second to last one. I guess it's the second to last one of these.
Well, I don't know. Is it the second to last one, or did you ever talk to our two friends who have things about possibly doing one?
I don't know. I don't.
See?
Off the air, Lee.
All right.
Anyway.
And you haven't interviewed me either.
Lee, what are you doing for your track this year? Oh, that's fine. That's great. Anyway, so, Lee, of course.
I love messing with your mind. It's fun. Okay.
Lee, of course, from the X track is my co-host, the lovely, the beautiful, the belle of the ball, the southern belle, the ever vivacious Lee.
What do you want?
Is it too late for that pass yet? That free
yes.
guest pass?
No pass.
Free guest pass. Yes, I want free guest pass.
No pass. Nope.
Especially a guest one.
Especially a guest one. No, 400-ish around there.
I think it might be a little over 400 now. Although then I just looked at daily.
Ish.
I just looked at the Daily Dragon. It looks like there's a bunch of people that's on Daily Dragon that have dropped out all of a sudden as well.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Today?
I don't know. I don't know when that was updated, to be honest with you. But it wasn't any names that I had noticed that had dropped out before. So.
Okay. Because I looked at the guest list today and none of those names jumped out at me. But they may not be on the website now. They may be on the Daily Dragon, so I'll have to go look.
Yeah,
but we are just a few days out. Very few. Woohoo!
Yes, that's right.
Which is kind of hard to believe.
Yeah, I think it will be 3 days out till con. I think
yeah?
if you hear this as you're hearing this one, as we're recording, it's like 5 days out, but 4 or 5, depending on your perspective, I suppose.
Depends
on if you're counting today or not. So anyway, yeah, I'm looking at the list right now. We have. We already have changes to the 2010 program, which is like Friday's Kevin Murphy Live that was on at 11:30 a.m. has been canceled.
Uh-huh.
I have a couple of corrections. We have a time change on the legal issues of MMO gaming. It's now 4 p.m. instead of 10 a.m. on Monday.
Where are you reading all this?
Over at dailydragon.dragoncon.org.
I'm on the dailydragon.dragoncon.org, and I'm not seeing what you're seeing.
I'm under 2010 programming changes.
Oti-doti.
Yeah, because there's like a...
Oh, there we go. Got it.
Yeah, okay. There's a list of like...
I was just reading the regular Daily Dragon. Okay, got it.
There's like Elizabeth Roman, Rome, Paul Smith.
Oh, yeah, and then we do have some new ones. Joel Gresh he was in 4400, and he was also on V. He's on V right now. Unfortunately, it looks like he had to cancel. Oh, poo. But, so. Some of these names I have seen before, so we're good.
I don't want to belittle any of these, but none of the main guys like Bacula or any of those guys have dropped out yet. So.
Nothing like that. I'm not seeing anything that like, oh, my God. That, kind of goes, oops. So this is awesome.
Yeah.
But this is great, so it'll be a lot of fun, and I cannot wait. Gil Gerard's going to be at the Dragon Con Parade. That's awesome, because I love the parade.
Who's a
parade?
Do they announce it ahead of time?
Grand Marshal?
Grand Marshal is.
Yeah, I don't know that we ever really say who that is. It'll probably be in the Daily Dragon when you get there. People, we get some stars in it, some stars not. It's also a time that they're also trying to do other things. So,
like sleep.
Some of them are already at the Walk of Fame. Some of them actually will have panels. Not every track closes down during the parade because they're trying to get so many other things in that they are unable to. So,
mm-hmm.
So that's really good. I close down during the parade because I go over and I help Jan, who runs the parade. and she gives me a bullhorn, and I get to herd the cats. It's awesome.
Yeah, and you know one of the biggest contingents that they have at the parade is Star Wars, and here's that's a ham-fisted segue if
that's
I ever heard one.
That's a ham-fisted segue over there, but you're right. There is something about seeing over 100 stormtroopers marching down Peachtree Street. It's pretty damned awesome. And so we would like to say hello to Brandy, the Star Wars track director. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. How are y'all?
We are good. We are good.
And you know,
as you hear us,
I just realized that, and maybe this is what trips us up when we keep saying, because pre-show Lee referred to the Star Wars dance as a Star Trek dance, and I believe it's the Star Wars track that kind of throws everybody off, because it's that having that track
Star
at the
Wars
end
track.
That kind of
yes.
You go oh, plus you know there. There's a lot of people that are fans of both, and so therefore they get them all mixed up in their head. Anyway, hey, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. We actually tried to rename the track, and it's just Star Wars at DragonCon. We actually just put a track in there so people know where the track room is.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. It's a very cool.
But they didn't like that. They thought it was violent.
They thought it was violent?
Yeah.
Wait, what was it? What did you say you tried to rename it?
SWAT DC. They thought that was violent, so we have to be just Star Wars at DragonCon.
Okay.
SWAT. Oh, I kind of like that though. SWAT. All right. So,
anyway.
But all right. Now, most of people kind of have an idea of what the Star Wars at DragonCon track is, but why don't you give them an update on it? What is it that this track does?
Star Wars at DragonCon is literally everything Star Wars, from the hundreds and hundreds of books to the prequel movies, including Jar Jar Binks, to the original three trilogy.
What? There are no other. Never mind. Sorry. No, you have to hear that all day, don't you?
There are people that like Jar Jar Binks. You're actually going to have a panel to argue the prequels.
Brandy, can you come up a little closer to the mic? You just kind of went, like, in a tunnel for a sec.
Oh, sorry about that. We're actually going to have a panel to argue the merits of the original trilogy versus the prequel trilogy. There are people out there that actually like the prequels.
Oh, I like the prequels.
You don't hate them anyway.
I don't. Oh, there you go. You're sounding really good now. Well, actually, what was really funny is so the prequel came out on a Wednesday night, right, at 12:01 Thursday morning. I was 9 months ungodly 9 months pregnant. Like, I went in for my induction on Friday. So I was there, and literally the security guard was terrified. He was like, "You're not going to have that baby here, are you?" I'm like, "I'm not going to have this baby here." He's like, "Are you sure you're not? I'm not going to have this baby here." He literally was terrified. It was hysterical. It was hysterically funny. So I like the prequels. I went to see them. My son saw them in utero. So
that's awesome. 11 years ago, right?
11 years ago, he was there. Woohoo! In May. It was awesome. So now, you do all of that. Now, what are some things that are going on your track this year? Because you have a lot that you guys do, and you do a lot of different things every year, really try to change it up.
Well, we do different things, but we also bring back the things that work. So this year, we have the New York Jedi coming back from New York. They're an entertainment troupe of girls and guys that come down and they do staged lightsaber duels and lightsaber fights. And then they run our saber school on Sunday morning for our younglings or our Padawans, where we've actually made little lightsabers for all of our little kids out of foam so they can learn how to responsibly lightsaber duel.
Yeah.
And we're, as a mother, thank you. Yay, responsibly. But by the way, how old do you have to be to be a Padawan and go get one of those cool foam lightsabers? Not that I'd show up for that.
Well, we do require that the parents are present. That way they're sort of keeping tabs on their little younglings. But we had kids as young as 4 last year, up to probably 10, maybe even 12. We had a couple of adults actually show up as well and bring their own lightsabers. And the New York Jedi are fantastic and they're very flexible. So they did sort of an adult version of the Saber School as well, which was very fun. They're fantastic people. And the Saber exhibition that they do on Friday at 1 p.m., I think, to sort of start off our track, we're actually starting at 10, but that's one of our big events at 1, where they'll actually do the choreographed fights. They'll show a video of some of the fights that they do. And they actually run sort of a saber school up in New York as well. So they're fantastic. But we also, we were really, really thrilled because last year we did Lightspeed Dating, and Steve Sansweet, who's the head of fan relations at Lucasfilm, loved it so much he incorporated it into the programming at Celebration, which was 2 weeks ago. So we are bringing back Lightspeed Dating this year. It'll be in our track room in the Marriott, which is a big point to make. We've been in the Dunwoody for years, but we actually got a bigger room this year. We are in the Marriott, the lobby level. If you walk straight through the Marriott, we're in the very back. It's L401 to 403. But that's where Lightspeed Dating will be at 10 o'clock on Friday night if people want to come line up.
Now, what is Lightspeed Dating? I have a vague idea of what it might be, but could you explain that?
It's actually just speed dating. Basically, we're going to have one big circle, and that will be the girls. And then on the outside of the circle, there will be chairs for the guys. Now, the girls get to sit there, but the guys will rotate seat by seat every minute and a half and get to talk to all the different girls. And then at the end, if there's a mutual match, people will write down the numbers that they're interested in. And if the numbers match, then they will exchange email addresses. Well, we will exchange the email addresses for them so they can meet up afterward. And actually, it worked out really, really well last year. There were several connections made. Some I've actually lost touch with. But my best friend actually found her boyfriend, and they actually live together and are looking at buying a house right now. And they met at Lightspeed Dating last year. So
that's awesome. Yay!
Yeah. Geek love.
Yay! We love Geek Love. And we didn't practice that, y'all.
Right. I mean, it is the Star Wars track, but it's open to everybody. They're actually both very involved in the Skeptics track, and they didn't know each other beforehand, so it was great. They just had friends that liked Star Wars. So
that is neat. Well, I can tell you the one thing my son is so excited about, because he has been poring over the schedule now and making his own little schedule grid.
It isn't the Lightspeed Dating?
It's not the Lightspeed Dating. He's 11. Stop it. You and I already have it worked out that our kids are going to date each other so we can make little geeklings, and we can be grandparents to them. We've already figured this out, John. Do not screw up the plan. But the Tauntaun races.
Oh, yes. Well, we've actually moved that. It's going to be – oh, sorry.
Okay. No. When is that going to be? Yeah, let me write this down because he's going to be there.
It is Sunday night at 7 p.m. on the Skyline level of the Marriott.
And Lee?
Mm-hmm.
All schedules are tentative.
Oh, that's right.
True.
I know that. I totally understand that. That's exactly true. Oh, no, I'll just let him know. We understand things change. It's okay. But, yes, right. He is so excited. So tell, what are, for those who have not seen this, what are those?
Well, FakeGeek.com made an April Fool's Day joke that they were going to make a Tauntaun sleeping bag that you would unzip with a lightsaber to look like you're cutting it open, and the inside would be the guts. But it was so insanely popular that they actually ended up making it, and they've got the adult sizes, and they've got the child sizes as well. But people are going to bring their Tauntauns, and we're going to have a race of the Tauntauns, sort of like a sack race. And it's not going to be terribly long because these suckers are $100. So people don't really want to be hopping around in them for prolonged periods of time. But the winner is actually going to get a new Tauntaun sleeping bag.
Wow. Very cool. That's good. So if they ruin it, that'll be. Yes. That's neat.
Right. Depending on how aggressively they're hopping.
I did not realize 2 years ago when that came out, I literally did not realize it was the April Fool's joke from ThinkGeek. So I showed it to my child on April 1st. He was ecstatic. He asked for it for his birthday. I said, you know what? We'll see. As soon as he left the room, I looked at my husband. He's like, yeah, go on and do it. Put in the order. And then I got the email the next day that went, we're really sorry. We didn't think anybody would want this, but it was just an April Fool's joke. And I emailed him back like, no, you have no idea. You have just upset a 10-year-old. And they were like, yeah, we understand. We've upset a lot of 10-year-olds and 40-year-olds. So we're seeing what we can do. And got
then got
the mass email too of the we are going to talk to Lucas and everything, and he got it this past Christmas, and he was the happiest little kid. Yeah, so it's an awesome. If you've not seen the sleeping bag, go look. Yes, he is so excited about that. So very cool.
We will actually have our waivers of liability in the track room that everybody will have to sign, And if they're underage, their parents will have to sign as well.
Yes.
They will be assuming all risk. If they fall and break an arm, it'll be their fault, or maybe their tauntaun's fault. So.
It's probably their tauntaun. You know, those things don't always listen. So.
Well, and sometimes they get cold, or maybe they'll get hot, and they'll just pack up.
I know. So this is very cool. And then, now, are you doing a party this year?
We are. We're having the last party on Alderaan, where we're going to party like it's the end of the world again. That'll be Saturday night at 10 p.m. in the Marriott on the Atrium level, 601 to 602. And it is DJ'd this year. Should be a massive array of music. But it's actually going to be following our Mr. Star Wars pageant, where we are searching for the nerdiest fanboy in the galaxy. It's sort of an improv contest where they have to come up with their best Star Wars pickup lines and stuff like that off the top of their heads and then do some basic acting. So it's typically a very, very funny, good time. But that'll also be in the Atrium level, 601 to 602. That starts at 7 p.m. on Saturday night, though.
Very cool. So awesome. Okay.
Yeah, it's typically hilarious.
Now, so who are some of the names you've got coming this year?
This year, actually, the track is being sponsored by HerUniverse.com. That's the all-female accessory and clothing line that Star Wars is putting out now. But it's actually designed by Ashley Eckstein, who is the voice of Ahsoka on The Clone Wars, which is a cartoon. So she's going to be there, and she's going to be very involved with the track, and we're so appreciative for their sponsorship. She's going to be on panels for us. There's actually a really big Clone Wars panel where we're going to have her, Daniel Logan, who was young Boba Fett, who's actually Boba Fett in The Clone Wars, as well as Phil Lamar, who's Bail Organa in The Clone Wars. But he was also on Futurama and Mad TV. They're all going to be on a Clone Wars panel for us in our track room, so it's going to be very small and intimate, Monday at 10 a.m. So we've got the three of them, and then we also have Ray Park, who played Darth Maul in Episode 1, and who was also Snake Eyes in the G.I. Joe movie. And we've got Peter Mayhew coming back, who was Chewbacca in several of the movies. So
excellent.
It should be really fun. We have a ton of authors. We actually have a Meet the Authors panel on Sunday at 2:30, and that's got Kevin J. Anderson, A.C. Kristen, Rebecca Moesta, Timothy Zahn, and Michael Stackpole, which that's going to be a pretty informal question and answer session with the authors. So it's going to be a pretty stacked track this year. It should be fun.
That sounds like it. So that's going to be really awesome. So cool. So, John, did I jump on you?
Oh, no. I had a question I wanted to ask about something you had said a minute ago. Now it just kind of disappeared. Now I remember. This you said the track is sponsored. Is that something new, or is that something you can talk about, or
it is something new. I believe Herd Universe is actually sponsoring a lot of Dragon Con, but they are specifically sponsoring our track. So when you come in the track room and you see the Herd Universe banners and signs. Hopefully they'll be doing some giveaways for us. They've been really great so far in helping us talk about how we're going to decorate the track room. And Ashley, like I said, she is so involved with the track. She's going to be on several of our panels, and she's actually going to be judging our costume contest as well. So she's just wonderful. And some of their stuff is great. They've got really cute t-shirts for girls. They've got some jewelry that they're trying to do now. It's really innovative, and I look unofficially, I look for it to be not just a Star Wars apparel line, but to then go universal and tie in all kinds of different fandoms for the ladies, because people are finally taking notice that girls are very active in fandom. So it's nice to have somebody actually realize that and market something specifically for the ladies out there.
And that's cool. And that's HerUniverse.com. And actually, yeah, I see that it. If you go to HerUniverse.com, you Dragon Con is promoted right there. So
they're very excited. They've done Celebration, which was really big, and just Star Wars. They did Comic-Con. I think they did Chicago Comic-Con. But they are really looking forward to Dragon Con because we are such a fan-centered event. And talking with them, they're just so excited. And like you said, it's front and center on their webpage, just how excited they are. I think they have a countdown going even.
Yay, countdown!
So let me ask you, how did you get involved in Dragon Con? I mean, when was your first experience with Dragon Con, and then how did you become a track director and through staff and whatnot?
Honestly, I didn't know anyone when I moved to Atlanta a couple of years ago as an intern with the Public Defender's Office. So I went to a Hotlanta Rebels meeting, which is the local Star Wars fan group. We meet the third Saturday of the month at Fuddruckers in Marietta. And I met all of my friends there, which was really strange because I didn't know anyone. And several of them happened to be directors at Dragon Con. So my first year at Dragon Con, I worked signage. Those are the people that make all the pretty signs and post all the schedule all around the con. And I kind of worked my way up from there. 2 years ago, I was the second for information services, which are the people that give the directions and sit at the info booth the entire con. I was really looking to get more involved and try to, you know, participate in my fandom because I'd been doing all the behind-the-scenes things and not being able to go to any of the track programming, any of the Star Wars programming. I was sort of missing the heart of the convention for me because I could see all the costumes and I could see Chewbacca walking around and I could see hundreds of stormtroopers, and it was like walking into the movies. But then not to be able to experience that, I was very sad. So I tried to get on the Star Wars staff, and then I ended up being track director last year, and it was an amazing experience. We tried to really change things up a little bit and try to make it exciting. So last year we changed the track room every night to a different planet. We had Hoth.
Really?
It was ambitious. We were there till 5 o'clock in the morning decorating a couple of nights.
Whoa.
So this year we're going to calm it down a little bit. and we're going to have four different themes all in the room to start with. Our theme this year since it's the 30th anniversary for Empire Strikes Back, our theme is Tours of Duty. So when you walk into the track room, it'll be like Echo Base of Hoth. And then the second room, because our room is technically three different rooms. They're just taking the middle partitions out. So the second room will be Dagobah, and then the asteroid field that features prominently in Han and Leia. And then the front of the room, a friend of mine, Paula Rosenberg, did an amazing Lightspeed backdrop for us. That the sides of the room will be like you're on Cloud City. So we're just going to leave it all this year and not try to redo the room every night. But hopefully the decorations will turn out as nice as we're planning in our heads.
Well, I didn't realize you had redone all your decorations every night, but my son went to a lot of stuff last year. And he told me about how awesome your decorations were. So yes, so that is really neat though. Very cool. Very cool. So now yes, understood. Some of us are old and tired. But now is there, we talked kind of about what's going on in your track. Is there anything you're looking forward to trying to go to outside of your track? I know you don't, none of us get there too much, but we try sometimes.
Oh, that's true.
So is there anything you're looking forward?
I'm so looking forward to the I Dream of Jeannie panels because I was raised on I Dream of Jeannie. Larry Hagman, Barbara Eden, I cannot wait to meet them and to see them and what they look like now. Because I heard Larry Hagman is now the spokesperson for alternative energy and solar power in California. So I'm really psyched. And I can't wait to get, I'm hoping they'll be doing pictures, but I'm not sure. And then Quantum Leap. I think that's just amazing. I'm so excited to see Scott Bakula because I was in love with him pretty much all of my life.
Oh, good to know.
It should be fun. It's going to be a great time. And then the Yule Ball is a must-see event for me every year. And actually, we are advertising for the X-Track Universe fanfic NC-17 panel.
Yes.
We're trying to encourage Star Wars fans to go as well.
Yes, everyone should go to that. It's a very interesting panel. It is an adult only panel. That's why it's at 11:30.
Right.
But it is a very interesting panel, and there are some people who have been invited that if we are awake and haven't just passed out somewhere because of exhaustion, that have been asked to come and talk at that panel. So I'm not gonna say who, but yeah. So we're very excited about it.
it should be fun. It's in the middle of our party. We're encouraging people to come to the party, and if they feel like they want to go to that, go ahead and leave, and you can come back afterward because we'll still be partying. So,
what night is that again?
That's Saturday night.
Okay.
The party starts at 10. The fanfic panel starts at 11:30, but the party will still be going on after the fanfic panel.
Until
they'll be talking about Obi-Wan Kenobi and Qui-Gon Jinn, or Obi-Wan and Anakin, Han and Leia, Luke, Mara Jane. It should be fun.
Jabba and Leia. Oh. What?
I have no idea what we discussed. I really don't. Maybe Jar Jar and somebody, but that's a totally other issue. Keep going.
Jar Jar and Jabba?
Oh,
never mind. I just went someplace that I didn't want to go.
You just winced, didn't you? You just made yourself wince.
Yeah. Okay.
We have our own adult themes panel as well. With actually Aaron Alston, who's one of the premier Star Wars authors, has agreed to sit on that panel again this year. And it was so popular last year, we've actually had to get a bigger room. So it'll be in the Hanover in the Hyatt C&E Sunday at 10 o'clock. But pretty much anything goes with that. It's adults only as well.
Okay. Well, and Brandy, I just want to let you know, I just sent my husband, because I'm in one room doing this podcast and he's in another room, which is, that tells you something, that we're IMing each other. And I said that the Tauntaun races were going to be at 7 p.m. on Sunday at the Skyline level of the Marriott. And this was a change. And he said, nope, that's what's in the pocket program. So just letting you know, at this point, that's what's listed in the pocket program. So
good.
Yay. Good. Because he was like, nope, that's
originally. Good. Originally, they were trying to put it during the day. But at 7 o'clock, that's prime programming time. So should be
so
fun.
Very cool. So,
you know, I don't want to. This is the time when John gets up on the soapbox, I think. I don't want to go back and make this a advertisement for Her Universe. But you know what I just realized? Well, I think with the exception of Wayne, are all the track directors women?
No. No. Not even close. The ones
really?
We've talked to.
Because it seems like we we get. Oh no. Oh sorry. Now I know that I've just upset Dark Fantasy.
Yeah, you talked to Derek too. But it's also, we've got Johnny X, who is science.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Is he science?
Never mind.
Rain is space.
I was working on a theory that only the girl geeks have their crap together and can actually get the stuff organized properly.
Star Trek this year is being run by Garrett Wong.
That's
he
true.
He was actually on Voyager. Not to give a pitch for that other star thing, but... That should be fun.
All right, so which is faster, the Millennium Falcon or the Enterprise?
The Millennium Falcon. You made the Kessel Run, and that's the 12 parsecs.
Yes, but parsecs is really not a measurement. Never mind.
Right. Oh, I love it. I love it.
It's a measurement
Do
of
it.
Distance,
Go on,
not
argue.
A measurement of time.
I want to watch.
Anyway, what were we talking about again?
I have no idea. I don't know. We've done 12 or 15 of these at this point. I don't know. So, no, all right. So, you want to go see Bacula, I Dream a Genie. So, very, very cool on that. So, yay. Is there, all right. So, then the other question, John, do you want to give your question now?
Which is what, Lee?
Okay. So, if money were no object.
Oh, that one.
If money were no object and you could bring back anybody, living or dead. And you have up to three names here. Who would you love to see as a guest at DragonCon? It doesn't have to be on your panel, or on your track, but who would you love to see three people as a guest?
Yeah, what she said.
For my own personal benefit, I would love to meet Harrison Ford. As the head of the Star Wars track, George Lucas would be amazing.
You know, I'm not...
That would be phenomenal, just to see what else he's got planned for Star Wars. He said he's going to release them all on Blu-ray, I believe, either this or next fall. But I want them in 3D.
Okay, wait. I'm sorry, John. What were you going to say about Harrison Ford?
I was going to say, you know, I'm straight, but Harrison Ford, anyway, moving on.
Yeah, there's certain ones that all of us would be like, yeah, that would work. Yeah, it's
whatever.
Okay. Keep going.
You know.
It would be awesome because then we could do the Indiana Jones thing, all of it. So, It would be great.
And he went to his first Comic Con this year. My understanding is, even though he was in handcuffs, be still my heart, that he actually enjoyed it. So, you know, maybe that's giving him a taste for con life. We could hope.
Yeah, I mean, we
You're talking about Harrison, right? Not Lucas.
I'm talking Harrison, yes. Okay. And he actually is. See, if you brought Harrison, you got Indiana Jones, you got Star Wars, and now he's doing
Blade Runner.
About aliens. So
don't forget Blade Runner.
Blade Runner, Cowboys and is it Cowboys and Aliens that he's working on now? I can't remember.
Maybe.
I can't remember.
it's got a lot of big names in it, though. I think I saw a preview.
Yeah, it does. It's kind of big. Yeah.
So let me ask you, not to sidetrack the conversation, but how do you feel about Lucas constantly tweaking the base film?
I think it's hilarious. It gives us really good fodder because we can always say who shot first, and then you can tell for certain which version people have paid attention to.
It keeps your track alive, that's for sure.
That's true. And it just proves how timeless the original story is, actually. The original trilogy, while it started in 77, and I think Jedi actually came out in 83, they're still very relevant today. They were re-released in the 90s, and people still flock to see them. And I'm sure when he actually does them in 3D, even if it's a $20 a ticket, thing, people are going to line up and go. I know I will definitely be there. So, and thankfully, James Cameron has kept Star Wars even more relevant when he keeps talking about how he wants to be Star Wars with Avatar. We're actually having a Star Wars versus Avatar panel Sunday at 8:30 in our track room because everybody keeps saying Avatar is the new Star Wars. Quite unfortunate. And we just don't believe that.
Yeah, no, I would have to agree that
not
the same thing.
No. No, no, no.
Did we lose her?
Brandy? Oh,
apparently it's redialing.
Are we there? Are we there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, we were agreeing with you that no, Avatar is not Star Wars.
Well, Cameron keeps thinking that he's got something there. So we're going to have a debate, a friendly debate about whether or not Avatar is even close to Star Wars. But honestly, the staying power of Star Wars, it's just timeless. The mythology, the story arc, all of it.
I think that's
what actually keeps people involved and keeps people coming back.
You know, and I have to be honest, and this is, again, me on my soapbox, but the Avatar, I saw it. I thought it was a beautiful film. And then I just kind of threw it away in my memory. But Star Wars has been there since day one. You know, it also probably has a lot to do with, you know, growing up with it. But you know, my son is next to me on the other computer, and he's growing up with a whole new generation of Star Wars fans. I mean, from you know, even the Clone Wars television series, the Cartoon Network television series, which is awesome. It's very well done. It works on several different layers, or even the new trilogy, if you will, of Star Wars, which he enjoys, and I cringe. But yeah, you're right. It does. It hangs around, whereas Avatar just it was there and now it's gone.
And that's the interesting thing with the prequels. It brought in an entirely different generation. Mm-hmm. You talk to people that even saw this first, and they're like, oh, it was visually stunning, or the sound was amazing. Lucas constantly takes what the standard is and pushes it to the next level. He redefines everything that we see, what we hear, and what we experience when we go to movies. And he's trying to do the same thing with television, with the Clone Wars, and the kids are loving it.
Yeah,
what he couldn't achieve with Jar Jar Binks, he's achieving with Clone Wars in the cartoon. But not just the kids, adults are tuning in every week.
Right.
And actually, I've got to say, I don't know if it was, it might have been a Lucas interview, but it was somebody, and it's that point you're making of, there are those of us who remember sitting in Star Wars and just being blown away as a kid in the theater. And then there are those of us who, my son's first experience with Star Wars was the prequels. I mean, he saw them as soon as he could. We went to the theater. We went to matinees with the other parents so he could see them. My best Star Wars story with my son is for the last movie when Anakin kills all the young Padawans and you just see them on the floor. And my son is sitting on my lap because it was kind of dark at that point. I mean, he was a little scared, but he was sitting on my lap because I can't remember what year did that come out. What year did the
three? Ooh,
yeah.
I should know that.
I'm blank. Well, he was around, you know, 7 or 8, and I just remember I looked at him and I went, you know, maybe they're just sleeping. And he looked at me in the theater and he went, "Mom, come on, he killed them." And I was like, "Okay, he got it. Whoops, okay."
Yeah, that's really sad.
Yeah, that didn't work out real well. And then now there's a whole nother. I mean, because he grew up on that, but we're all watching Clone Wars, of course. But there are these kids that are just seeing it for the first time as Clone Wars. So it's just amazing how it'll be there forever. And I mean, and he's doing that again with the other star, you know, use the other star word. I mean, we started last summer with the movie, the reboot. And then he then wanted to watch the original series. And now he's getting into Next Generation. And so it's all, you know. There are a lot of staying power in a lot of shows, and that's very good. Which is yay, because then we're building the next level of geekdom. Yay!
Right.
We're working hard at it. So cool. So awesome.
Cool here at the Earth. So. Mm-hmm.
So very cool. So, John, you get the last question. I'm just going to be quiet.
So, you know, Lee likes to torture the folks over at Need Coffee by making them show up at the last panel. I think it's like 10 p.m. on Monday. Maybe.
Oh my God, you're such a big fat liar.
At least it seems like that.
Liar!
So the question that we have for you is, how do you close out your panel? What is the last track on your panel on Monday afternoon?
Monday afternoon at 4 p.m., we have what's called Order 66. Now, if you remember in Episode 3, Order 66 is what Palpatine, that was his big order that he'd implanted in the clone troopers to have them exterminate the Jedi, basically. So we have Order 66. It's listed in the pocket program along the lines of The End Has Come. And basically, my whole staff, we all sit around with anybody who wants to come, and we discuss what we liked about this year, what we didn't like about this year, what we can do better for next year, and what we'd like to see for next year. And we invite anybody who participated in the track this year, and even people who didn't actually make it out to a panel this year, to come and give us ideas for what we can do better next year or what they'd like to see for next year. The fun thing about Star Wars is the canon is pretty set. Lucas tweaks it every now and then, but a lot of people have actually seen Star Wars. So even if they didn't come out to any of our programming, they can still come say, you know, I'd really love to see this. And everybody has a different opinion. So we just invite everybody to come tell us what they'd like to see, what they like, et cetera. So.
Cool. So where's your room again? And where is the last party on Alderaan? Is that what it's called?
Right.
Okay.
Our room has moved to it's the Marriott this year, lobby level. The room is technically L401 to 403. Basically, if you walk through the Marriott straight to the back, you'll see us. And then the last party on Alderaan is Saturday night at 10 p.m. In the atrium level of the Marriott, 601 to 602. It's actually the same location as where we were last year for the party. And people seem to find us and have a good time. So we hope they find us again this year.
And I think we covered this a little bit, but who do you have in main programming this year?
Main programming?
Yeah.
We have our Meet the Stars panel with Ashley Eckstein, Phil Lamar, Daniel Logan, Peter Mayhew, and Ray Park. Okay. They'll be all rotating in and out. We have those every single day, Friday at 2:30, Saturday at 4 o'clock, and then Sunday at 1 o'clock. And then Monday, we have our Clone Wars people, Daniel Logan, Ashley Eckstein, and Phil Lamar in our track room, actually, for the Clone Wars panel to start off Monday morning at 10 a.m.
Okay. And again, folks, all scheduling is tentative.
Is tentative.
Watch the Daily Dragon. Watch, you know, anything. Just
follow them on Twitter. Follow Swat DC on Twitter, SWATDC, and the Daily Dragon on Twitter if you want to be up to date.
Yes, exactly. Well, say that one more time. What was your Twitter account?
We are SWATDC, Star Wars at DragonCon.
SWATDC. And that's who you want to follow on Twitter if you want to get updates throughout the con. And, you know, just updates throughout the year, I would imagine. And where can they find you on the web elsewhere?
They can find us at www.swatdc.com.
Awesome. So it's the Twitter name is the same as the .com name, then.
Yeah. SWAT DC, Star Wars
with
Dragon
Con. SWAT DC. It's too violent for a name, but it will work on the web. All right, so cool. I appreciate you taking the time out, Brandy, to join us. And it's been a pleasure. And let me just say that to you, as I say to all the directors, thank you so much for your time and effort you put into Dragon Con and your staff, because without you guys, we wouldn't have... 60,000 people. I keep up in the number of people that show up. 60,000 people that show up to Atlanta wouldn't have anything to go.
I'm
going to
hurt you.
Thank you guys so much for having us. And thanks for it's the fans and it's the people that come out that make Dragon Con so worthwhile and make it so different than every other convention, because there's something for everyone at Dragon Con.
Cool. All right. Yay. So for Lee and the Unique Geek. And be sure to, you can check out and get links to the sites if you missed them, as we said them, but swatdc.com and swatdc for Twitter, over on the post that this podcast is attached to. So that's over at theuniquegeek.com. And for Lee and the rest of the Unique Geek crew, until Dragon Con, peace.
Bye.
This has been a production of the Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG, or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter, @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share-alike non-commercial license.